Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We've got a great show lined up where we'll be talking about the music from Dust and Elysian Tail. Hope you enjoy. So, as I said a second ago, we'll be talking about the music from an indie game that kind of took everyone by surprise, but was incredibly high quality. What's more, it was actually composed largely by, or developed largely by one guy, although a lot of help, but it's just amazing. Before I talk more about it, I think I'll start you off with the title track, or at least the track that plays when the title of the game is displayed. So this is called Falana, and I'll start you right in with that track, and we'll talk a bit more about the game afterwards. Hope you enjoy. And that was Falana from Dust and Elysian Tail, which was developed by Humble Hearts LLC. Although it kind of, the story behind this game sort of goes back a bit. Dust is essentially a kind of a nice, fun action kind of role-playing sort of. It's a story. It's a game where it's kind of a platformer. You control your character and jumps, and you know his name is Dust, so obviously he's the titular character of it. But he jumps and flails and got so much action going on. And his basic story is that he wakes in a glade, and suddenly, essentially, a sword comes up and starts talking to him, and then a nice little flying critter comes up and starts talking with him, and he's kind of confused what's going on, and he can't quite figure out any more of what's going on because he somehow doesn't seem to have a memory going on. He's unfortunately been stricken by a common case of video game protagonist beginning of the game amnesia syndrome, and the remedy for such a condition is, of course, follow the game's plot until such time as his past is either revealed to him or else he gains his memory back, a very common method of being treatment. So essentially he tries to follow this cure. He takes the flying critter who keeps in a high-pitched voice, who talks about, who's called Fidget and everything, and of course the sword who obviously keeps talking with him, but clearly the sword knows a heck of a lot what's going on but isn't really telling him anything, which is kind of annoying, but anyway. And he goes off trying to search for his memory, and in the end goes across this rolling landscapes in a village and suddenly finds out all these monsters are attacking both him and other people. So he's doing what he can to deal with these monsters, and then he figures not only has he got all these monsters to deal with, there's also a gigantic army that's essentially initiating a pogrom about cleansing everyone, all these creatures called Moonbloods, and obviously he's not really keen on that idea. Now, of course, he's sort of left with a decision. I mean, does he, you know, try to actually do something about it, or does he just go on his own quest? But he he's kind of hinted that if he does one, he'll end up doing the other. And also he decides that he wants to actually help people because that's the good thing to do. And so he follows that. And that sort of sets off the motion of the whole storyline of Dust and Elysian Tale. And it leads to the whole confrontation and going to various different places. There's this whole fantasy land called Falana, and it's got caves and it's got coves and forests and glades and all these sort of areas and stuff. In fact, I think in order to try to give you a bit better sense of it, I'm going to throw you some music from the game. It's called Glade, and it's kind of this sort of music that plays in the atmosphere. It gives you a great sense of sort of the environments that you're going through. So, yeah, have a listen.
Thank you.
And so that was The Glade, as I said, from Dust and Elysian Tale. Now, as you can hear, there's some great atmospheric, vibrant music that sets the scene. And honestly, the art of this game does brilliantly. The person who actually made the game, who's called Dean Dodrill, was actually an illustrator and animator to begin with. And then this was actually the first game he's ever made. And boy, I mean, as a game developer, I know it's hard. And people even say that your first game isn't going to be that good. And there's so much to learn in the first thing. But I mean, these guys are the exception. Because while Dust isn't a perfect game, damn, for a first game, just to pull off something like this is just incredible. The music, as you've heard, is good. Of course, the art, which he was responsible for, is good. And it's also the animation as well. You know, he didn't just do what a lot of indie game does and make everything like pixelated to evoke the old retro style. Although he did consider that earlier on in the project. But in the end, he just decided to make everything like hand-drawn animation. So there's actually a full drawing for all the characters. And when you speak to characters, you see the full body portrait as they talk and breathe and mouth flap and talk the dialogue. That's one of the game's strongest aspects. It's being absorbing all the characters and everything. The whole world is also anthropomorphic. Characters, so they're all like animals of some, you know, walking, talking animals sort of thing. You know, there's great voice acting and there's great animation, and it just draws you into this world a little like some of the classic cartoons, but obviously they completely ramp it up so that there's a bit more depth and stuff to it. Now, I think it's about time, since I played some music, to actually talk about the music of the game. Well, essentially, there are two people involved in this soundtrack. Now, this is kind of a little tricky because I thought that if I downloaded, got the soundtrack, and like looked at the artist, I'd be able to see which artist did which track, and unfortunately, it doesn't seem to have worked out quite that well. They all just say the one artist. But I can give credit to both. One of them is Funky Rustic, i.e. Alexander Brandon. He's done music for a lot of video games things, such as Unreal and Deus Ex. And he also did music for Jazz Jackrabbit, which is a series I got to check out one of these days. And it was in Jazz Jackrabbit that he met Dean Dodrill, the guy who actually is making this game, because Dean doing the cutscenes for Jazz Jackrabbit, and that's when the two met. So Alexander Brandon actually does some of the music on this game. But the majority of the music and a lot of its focus was actually done by Hyperduck Soundworks, essentially two guys who are actually Irish. You know, they're from Northern Ireland, Belfast, and their names are Chris T. Geehan and Dan Byrne McCullough. That's pretty awesome. They did a lot of the things, and not only do they actually make music for the game, they actually cameo in the game, funnily enough, because one of the nice little side quests of this game is that you come across all these locked boxes. Now, some of them just contain treasure, but they're these super locked boxes that require a lot of keys, and when you open them, you release a captive. And in most cases, the captive is a cameo from another video game. So you got the guy from Braid, you know, the guy who looked dressed like a schoolboy with a tie from a private school, and you've got Fez, you know, of course, and you've also got the characters from The Dishwasher, which I've never actually played before. It's kind of this black and white sort of thing. And of course, you meet the two of them, two ducks, and you don't get their name, but all the rescued people go back to this nice little abandoned house, which you call an orphanage. And when you go there, you can see all the indie game characters walking around, and when you rescue the two Funky Rustic guys, they get on this called DJ system and play this really cool funky music that gets everyone going and chatting and, you know, like buzzing. So that's a really nice way to actually credit your musicians, have the main character of your game actually rescue the musicians, and then have the musicians in return play some great music for the main character and all the other people he's rescued. So it's a nice thing as well. Now, as I said earlier, the game went through a bit of a development. First of all, the guy tried to just make it like pixelated, and then he tried to make it drawn a little. Then he learned a bit from the guys who made The Dishwasher can like manage to make a good level and some tools in order to develop the game better. It took them over 3 years to make this game, so this was really an intensive effort. It puts me in mind a bit of Pixel, of course, the Japanese guy who made Cave Story. Of course, Dean Dodrill isn't quite as a recluse. He still was able to network with a lot of guys and got a lot of support from people. One guy at Microsoft who helped him a lot, and the Microsoft thing is very helpful. Is a whole load of other things. But the point is, the music of the game actually changed a fair bit over the course, because of course they made the shift from like the old style to like this new cinematic style. Now, normally I'd talk a bit about it, but thankfully when I was researching details on this game, I found out that one of the guys who worked at Hyperduck Soundworks actually made a voice clip that actually describes how the music changed over the course of the game, gave it before and after example, and introduces music. So I mean, like, this is great. I don't even have to like talk about the music now. I can just play this track of someone talking about the music better than I could. So I'll just play this track, and you can listen to a bit about how the music evolved.
Hello, my name's Chris Geehan, and I'm part of the team that composed the music for Dust and Elysian Tale, as well as designing all the sounds you hear in the world of Elysium. back before the music sounds like it does now, it had a very different influence. And at the point of the drastic change to the style, themes had already been written and implemented into Dust. Originally, we were looking at an influence that stemmed from Falcom's Ys 3 and Ys 4 of the 16-bit era. The transition for some of the themes was pretty radical, but I made a point of maintaining the original thematic qualities of the older themes as they were converted into a more orchestral and cinematic style. I'm just going to quickly run through a comparison of the Abaddus Forest theme in its original style and as you hear it now within the game. Check it out. Okay, so that was a long time ago, and I still think that music style is, it's so awesome. It was so much fun writing those tracks. I still listen to all the reference tracks that Dean gave me. They're class. But you can hear, you know, in the original style, there's a lot of splashes of DX-era instruments amongst funky bass lines, and drum grooves that are crammed full of fills and rolls, and yeah. You know, a lot of that crazy percussive energy that goes on, which I really love writing into my themes anyway. What I gotta show you now is what it eventually became in the game. It's a totally different style, but you can hear the themes. You can hear the themes I've let you hear there within the music now. So here it is. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
So that was Chris T. Geehan. That music was actually for Aberdeen Forest, the before and after. So as you can see, there's been a lot of effort gone into just trying to get the atmosphere, the feeling and the ambience right. Indeed, there's a lot of stuff you do. You get to speak to a lot of characters and a lot of them are voiced. You get a wide variety of accents, though. There's one guy with a strong Australian accent, which you get to talk to, and another guy who I'm pretty sure is an Irish accent, although I was trying to look him up and figure out. I don't know. There was a huge amount of voice work went into the game, and in fact, I believe it caused a minor crisis for the developer when he, well, actually, according to him, major crisis, when he moved everything in, all the voice work into the game, found out the game wouldn't run with it, utterly had a panic attack that he, after everything, he'd have to throw out the voice work, and pretty much collapsed into bed. But thankfully, when he managed to recover, he was able to actually reprogram everything, so everything worked out okay. So I'm very glad that it happened, and I'm glad that, you know, Dean Doudrill didn't have a gigantic crisis over that. But unfortunately, yeah, game development always has moments like this. But I suppose at the end of it, he managed to get the game developed, and it's a lot into a lot of people, and they really like it, and that's the main thing. The combat is also a pretty thing. There's a lot of the combat's very flashy, and you can through a lot of stunts, and then you can and there's a lot of little upgrading. There's a lot of different systems in the game. Actually, when I first heard about it, I was worried that all the systems would clash and get confusing. But they all manage to pull it out okay. And of course, there's a lot of different tonal moments in the game. You know, I'm going to just play one track called "No Rest for the Wicked" just to show you a better idea of how varied the music in this game can be. I think that that's about all we got time for right about now. I think that we've played some great music from this game. I'm going to leave you with two tracks that kind of summarize the ending of the game. There's Legend of Mithrarin and also Gone Home brackets Journey's End, not to be confused with the actual video game Gone Home, but I don't know, maybe the guy thought the same track was going. It's actually kind of funny about game names. He was actually joking when he was developing the game, he'd just constantly see all these games with Dust in them, like From Dust or Dust 451 or Dust Force. So apparently Dust is a very, you know, common name for games, or at least they were at the time. I think that the game Dust and Listening Tale, beautiful game, great graphics, and you can get it for, it was actually originally released on Xbox 360 for the arcade thing, you know, where you pay online and download, but it's now been released for Windows, Mac, and Linux, so no matter what PC platform you have, anyone can have a go at playing it. So, I'll leave you with the ending theme of this. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you very much for listening, and thank all the developers and musicians out there for making great games and great music so that I can shamelessly rip off on your work in order to boost my own profile. Thank you.